The children of Israel watched Moses climb Mount Sinai and disappear from view as he entered the thick cloud which manifested the presence of God. A few days before, the people had heard the voice of the Lord speaking to them from the top of the mountain, and God had made a solemn covenant with Israel. The days and weeks passed, and Moses did not return to the camp. The Israelites began to wonder if their leader had died on the mountain, and they became restless. Finally, they decided to take things into their own hands and to make a god that they could see and touch, like the gods they had known in Egypt. They gathered round Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a god who will go before us. As for this man Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." It was Aaron's duty and responsibility to ensure the people's loyalty to God. He had been entrusted with the government of the nation in Moses' absence, and God had severely forbidden all contact with idols. Aaron and all the Israelites had heard God's voice pronounce the Decalogue from the mountaintop only 6 weeks before. The first commandment clearly stated, "You shall have no other gods before me," and the second one declared, "You shall not make for yourselves idols or graven images in the form of anything, and you shall not bow down to them or worship them." What the nation planned to do now amounted to nothing less than open rebellion against God and deliberate apostasy. Seeing the people's determined and aggressive attitude, Aaron weakly gave in. He told them to give him the gold earrings they were wearing. The Israelites took off the rings they had been given by the Egyptians before they left Egypt, and Aaron made them into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then the people said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." By building an altar for pagan sacrifices and publicly identifying the Lord, the living God, with an idol, Aaron appeased the people, but offended and angered their God. The next day the Israelites rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the golden calf. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to celebrate, indulging in the same licentious form of worship that the pagan nations used to honor their gods. Moses was on the mountaintop in the thick cloud and could not see what was happening down on the plain, but God saw it. He told his servant that the Israelites were celebrating an idolatrous festival, offering sacrifices and bowing down before a golden calf they had made, saying, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." The Lord was very angry. "They are a stiff-necked, rebellious people," he said. "I will destroy them, and I will make you into a great nation." Moses at once began to intercede for the people. He pleaded before the Lord on Israel's behalf. "O Lord," he entreated, "why should your wrath burn against your people whom you brought up out of Egypt with great power? The Egyptians will say that it was with an evil intent that you brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore that you would make their descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and that you would give them the land of Canaan as their inheritance forever. O Lord, turn from your fierce anger, and do not bring disaster on your people." Moses' unselfish intercession, his concern for Israel, and his faithfulness as leader and mediator gave him the arguments that would avoid total disaster for the rebellious nation. His fervent pleading rested on the honor and very nature of God. The Lord's power and glory would suffer great loss in the eyes of all the nations if Israel was destroyed, while his truth and faithfulness stood as a guarantee for the fulfillment of his promises. So the Lord relented and did not destroy the nation. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. On the way down, he met Joshua, his servant, who was waiting for him on the mountainside. Joshua was unaware of what was happening in the camp. When he heard the people shouting, he said, "There is the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." Next episode, the people's punishment.